Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
How important is honor to God? How important is it to God that we know how to honor? See, we should honor God. We should honor our mother and father. We should honor authorities. Right? We should honor all those that we should honor in our government. We should honor our spouses. We should honor the church leaders. We should honor all people. God said, honor all men. It meant men and women. That's what it means. Honor everyone. Give honor to everyone. Along the years, we have lost some of that ability to do so. And the Lord, it's so important to Him for us to know how to honor people. And sometimes we really fail to grasp the meaning of honor and how to do it properly. And I want to speak on that just a little bit, but it's so important to God that the last book of the Bible is in Malachi of the Old Testament. And He said this, "Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord." And He's not talking about sending Elijah to already come. But this prophet says, I'm going to send you the Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. So He was talking about John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist came in the power and the spirit of Elijah. And John the Baptist was the one who paved the way. He was the forerunner for Jesus. Jesus was the one that paid the price for you and I to be able to know how to honor and how to be restored in honor. And so it's so important to God that, the last book of the Old Testament, and then you had the 400 years of silence, it was important for Him enough for us to be able to know that, look, I've made provision for you to know how to honor. I've made provision for you to be able to exercise honor, but we've got to learn how to do that. Unfortunately, in Isaiah, it said that the Lord said, Isaiah 29:13, it said this, because this people drew near with their mouth and they honor with their lips. That's the reason I was saying earlier, we need to know how to do it. Not just say we need to do it, but we need to know how to honor, how to show respect, how to show esteem. And He said, but the people, His people, they drew near to Him with mouth and honored with their lips. Then He goes on and says this, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment that is taught by men. So you begin to see here that just saying, I give you honor, is not going to cut it if the heart isn't in it. You hear it. See, to have these men and women to stand up here today and say we honor you and we thank you, but we can do that, but yet our hearts can be at distant with what we've said. And we need to make sure that we're giving the fullness of our heart, the fullness of who we are, in our honor, because He's looking at the heart. Jesus quoted some of that, you know, when He was talking about worship. You know, He said these people, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far off. It's way off. You know, and that is the hypocrisy that sometimes goes on in our land, because we want to say we do this, but we really don't, because our heart isn't in it. Let me ask you something. Have you ever done something and your heart not be in it? Your heart's just not in it. You know, that's what He's talking about. See, the thing is, we need to know how to honor, but see, there's nobody left out when it comes to honor. when it comes to God, when it comes to following God. He wants us to make sure that we know how to honor. So when you look at it over in Romans 12 says this, it says this, Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. Love one another with a brotherly, sisterly affection. Okay, great, God. Then this is out of the English Standard Version. It says, outdo one another in showing honor. When's the last time you saw that happening? Trying to just outdo one another in showing honor. See, that's how God sees it. That's how God sees the very heart of honor is I want to make sure that I'm outdoing the next person. I'm doing more than the next person. I want to make sure that my heart is in it and I'm just not doing this and not really meaning it. See, today's not Veterans Day, it's Thursday. So you got plenty of time to think about honoring veterans when it comes up. Buying a meal, buying a cup of coffee, whatever it is that the Lord puts on your heart. And don't think that the Lord don't put things on your heart. Those little thoughts that you have sometimes, for instance, last week, last Sunday, Brenda and I were at a restaurant. It was about a 10 or 15 minute wait, and it was after the service. It was about a 10 or 15 minute wait, and we were just chit-chatting in line with each other, and I didn't even pay attention. I knew there was a woman behind me, but I didn't pay attention who it was or what she was. Because we were just talking. So when we got up, so you pay ahead of time. And so we got up to the cashier, and she said, and the lady said, how many? And I said, two. And then I heard, no, three. So that's what I heard, three. I said, no, three. And Brenda's looking and said, who? You know, who's here? You know, and I'm still not turning around looking, and she said, three. And I said, yes. And I said, this lady right here, I want to pay for hers. And she said, oh, great. You know, so she did, and I paid her. So I started walking on. The lady said, thank you so much. I said, you're quite welcome. You know, we just started walking off. And then there's another line to get in, you know, to get in the food part to get it. And she walked over to me and she said, I need to tell you something. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I've been struggling with what I'm seeing in society. And I've just about lost all hope. But your action of kindness today has awakened me that there is still good in this country. Now, see, that wasn't about me. It was just, you know, you just be obedient and God does that. But see, here's this woman. She's struggling with what's going on in our country, what's going on in the land, and are we going to make it? Is there any hope left? You know, but I told her, I said, you're quite welcome. I said, hope in God. He's the one. He's the one that's going to get us through all of this. You know, and that was the whole exchange. But had I not been obedient to what I felt like I heard when he said three, and I didn't know, and I said, okay, it's the lady behind me. You know, and she was alone. But we can do that. Listen, we were at another restaurant one time, and some military people came in, and I think there was four. Those four of them came in, sat at a table, and I got the waitress's attention. I said, I want their bill at the end. She said, sure. Said, okay. Then four more came in. Four more came in and sat with the four that I was paying the bill for. Brent said, what you going to do now? I said, I called for the waitress. I said, add those four to it. She said, okay, sure will. Then two more. And the waitress one though said, is there anywhere that you want to stop? I said, nah, God's got plenty of money. He knows how to do it. But now that's all it was. But see, the thing is, but it was an honor to me to do it. It really was. And I paid for them, and they was like, you know. And I said, but don't tell them. Don't tell them who it was. So anyway, so when you listen and you're able to do things that is that because it's fulfilling in you to be able to honor people, especially that has done something and maybe some things hadn't done anything. But the thing is, he said, honor all people, honor all men. You should learn how to give respect and esteem to people. It does not mean you condone their actions. It does not mean that all of their actions that they're doing, that you want to honor the actions. No, you want to honor the person, the very person. So how's that going to happen? Well, that's going to happen in Proverbs 18:12 says, humility comes before honor. If you do not have humility, you will not be able to honor. So it causes you and I to be humble. For you and I to be humble, we're able to show esteem to other people, regardless of what they've done, right? And we need to learn this. In Mark 6:3-6, it was talking about Jesus was doing miracles and all, and he went to his hometown, and the hometown folks just like, who is he? You know, really, I mean, I said, he's just a carpenter. He lives here. All he knows how to do is nail nails or pegs. His sisters live here. His brothers live here. His mother, Mary, they're here. They're among us. Who is he? And the Bible says that they were deeply offended. They scoffed, and they were deeply offended at Jesus. And they refused to believe in him. Think about that. They couldn't honor him. Didn't want to honor him. Why? He's just plain old Jesus. And the results of that, Jesus said this, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own relatives and his own family. Everybody else will be able to honor him, but hometown can't, won't, or struggle with it. Then he goes on and says, and because of their unbelief and because of their lack of honor, he couldn't do any mighty miracles among them except place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. So you need to understand something about honor. Honor paves the way for the miraculous. So when you have the lack of honor, you have the narrowing of the ability for miracles to take place. That's the reason honor is so important. To be able to show honor and to give honor opens the door for God to do miracles in your midst. I want more of that, don't you? I want to see more of that. I want to see more of that happening around me, around you. I want to see that happening. I'm not talking about just in this building. I'm talking about out on the sidewalk, out working on the job, at the grocery store, wherever it is. I want to see it happening anywhere and everywhere. But you know, but the Lord is leading us. So you need to understand that the being dishonoring limits the amount of miracles that can be done. I mean, that's the very word. He could, Jesus himself could not do but just a few little miracles because of them. Honor is huge. The ability to be able to do that is huge. So the dishonor hindered the release of miracles, a release of things, of healings, of deliverances, of whatever it is that needed to take shape and happen at that place. That moment. Honor. See, God wants to restore honor in his people. We hinder it, and in our hindrances of giving and not giving honor and being dishonoring, it actually cuts you off. It cuts you off from the person that God has either sent to you or the provisions that that person may or may not have for you. It cuts you off from it because you're dishonoring. Because if you're dishonoring somebody, you don't usually hear, you won't hear what they have to say. Am I talking to the right people? Okay. In all reality, if you, you know, I'm just not going to give them honor. I'm not going to respect them. I'm going to disrespect them. That's what dishonor, disrespect. And what we do, we close ourselves off to the resources that this person may or may not have that we really need. If you cannot learn from your enemy, you're too closed off. The enemy can tell you things about you or tell you things that not trying to help, but trying to hurt. But the enemy can reveal some things to you that can change your life. See, honor is often tested through a failure of someone, our own failure. It's tested through disagreement. How many of you have ever had a disagreement with someone? Okay. Somebody in here is not telling the truth. You didn't raise your hand. No, I'm messing with you. No, but see, the thing is, in disagreement, we're going to have a choice to either be honoring in the disagreement or disrespectful. You can disagree with things, but you don't have to be disrespectful to the person. Disagree with what they're saying, what they're doing. Disagree, but honor the person. That is a hard thing to do because our flesh does not want to do it. Our flesh and our mind and our thinking say, if I start even leaning that way to say that, you know, I'm gonna bless this person. I want to honor this person, not what they said, not what they did. See, we struggle with that. You know why? Because we weigh whether they're worthy of your honor or not. We weigh it out. I don't know that man's worthy or that woman or that person's worthy of my honor. Look what they did. Look how they treated. Look what they said. Look what they're doing. See, we weigh those things out. And it's tested in disagreement. See, the enemy is always wanting to put negativity inside you and I about people. And that negativity will bring us to the places that will prevent us from honoring that person. He had to bring up negativity, didn't he? Yep. But see, negativity is a very destructive force when we walk in it. Because it will lead you, that negativity will lead you to a critical spirit. You'll be influenced by the critical spirit and you'll have criticism. In other words, it'll be like what the Bible says, fault finding. No, I'm just hanging around, you know. Look, you don't have to look too much when you hang around me to find fault. I mean, it just shows up sometimes. I mean, you know, you don't have to dig around and look. I don't like the way he said that. I don't like the way he looked. I don't like the way he acted. Look, none of us are perfect, including the person that is standing behind your pulpit now. None of us are perfect. So he tells us that, you know, that this thing about negativity, it will begin to darken. It will begin to darken, not your spirit. It'll begin to darken your soul. It'll begin to darken your heart. And you will not be able to walk in the light that he's given you to walk in because you've invited the darkness to say, okay, I'm okay with being disrespectful. Well, he's not. Y'all got it? He's not okay with you and I being disrespectful. He wants us to learn to honor. He wants us to learn to show respect to other people. Whether we feel out there worthy or not, it's not the issue. It's not the test. See, negativity will foster arrogance and pride. And that arrogance and pride will lead us to the place to want to do what man wants to do. we'll be influenced more by man than we will by God, because the negativity has already made us very prideful. And it hinders us from showing true honor to people. You know that passage that says that each man did what was right in his own eyes? Well, in the eyes of the Father, is doing what was right in their own eyes. That's what the negativity and the critical spirit will lead us to. And but you know, when you look at it today, our culture is riddled with dishonor. Riddled with it. It's all over the place. When you look at what's been going on with, take these militaries, take the Vietnam era. I mean, you know, they could not come home without being things thrown at them. When they get off the plane and walk through, people spit on them, threw things at them, did posters, said ugly things about them. It got so bad. Now, I'm telling you, y'all remember? It got so bad that Brother Doug was telling me they had to change clothes before they got off the airplane. They couldn't wear any military, no military stuff, just plain suits or pants and shirt, just plain clothes. Look like plain clothes. Why? We don't want you to get hurt. We don't want you to feel the pain of being disrespected. See, fortunately, we've learned through our error, we've learned how to honor the military. Society does a much better job today when soldiers come home. Is that true? Do a much better job today of honor, of, you know, clapping when they walk through. Much better job. But see, dishonor and disrespect is gone. Oh, no. Oh, no. It just went over to the police. It just left the military and went over to the police. We've learned our lesson here, but we hadn't learned our lesson about the policeman yet. But it's okay to be disrespectful to police. It's okay to dishonor and show disrespect. You know, we still have it today. They no longer are respected by a lot of people. I mean, I was taught, you know, say yes, sir, say no, sir. Yeah. And do what they tell you to do. But the disrespect is shown, dishonor is shown, a lot of contempt and a lot of hate. People's properties destroyed, government property destroyed, cities destroyed, stores robbed and looted. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end of it will bring you death. See, the dishonor and disrespect is still alive today. So do we join the crowd? Do we join in and say, hey, you know, that needs to happen? No, it doesn't need to happen. It's wrong. Amen? Okay. So, but it's still alive today. We need to make sure that we show honor and respect to people. You know, in Genesis, a very honoring thing was done. Y'all remember the Noah, the ark had landed, and they went, got on land and everything, and Noah went and planted, and that's over in Genesis 6:9, I think. And he planted a vineyard, y'all remember? And grapes grew, and he made wine. And nothing wrong with wine. Getting drunk is a problem. So he got drunk in a stupor, naked in his tent, passed out. His youngest son, Ham, went in the tent and saw his nakedness, his drunkenness, and went and told the other two brothers. The other two brothers went to the tent. They draped a cloth over their shoulders, this shoulder, and his brother was about, and they walked in backwards. They didn't turn their head to see him. Walked in backwards, and they saw his feet, and they knew that they needed to start letting go of the cloth. So they kept walking back and covered his nakedness. He came to, and he realized what has happened and was told what happened. And there was a curse placed upon Ham. But the other two sons had blessings. Blessings of enlargement. Blessings of the presence of God. Why? They showed honor to their father. They didn't intend, they had no intention in their heart to expose him or to look upon his nakedness and to ridicule him or shame him. See, that was huge honor. Huge honor. Now, was his action honorable? No. Did he sin? Yes. See, it wasn't that he was worthy of honor, but he was their father. And they gave him honor. Does that make sense? It's Genesis 9. I know some of you looking, it's Genesis 9, not 6. So you look at that and you say, okay, that is a great example of honor. Why? You, on purpose, you cover the sins of others. Boy, do we need to learn some of this on honoring. But God wants to restore it. God wants us to have the honor in our heart to honor people. See, we tend to feel, a lot of times, we tend to feel that we will only honor those that we feel like deserves it. And the Bible says, honor all men. Show honor. Well, it didn't just do that with that. Jesus made the example. During supper, this is John 13, during the supper, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. It was already in his heart to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he came forth from God, and he was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about, and he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel, which he was girded with. Knowing, in verse 11, knowing that Judas is going to betray him. Knowing. He washed Judas's feet. Knowing he's the one that's going to betray him. See, Jesus did not let the character flaws and the immaturity of his disciples stop him from honoring who they were, not what they did. Who they were. It didn't stop him from honoring Judas. And listen, the other disciples, they made messes, didn't they? Yeah, they made a lot of messes. But see, honor will enable you, honor itself will enable you to celebrate the person and not stumble over who they're not. That's what honor will do. When you have honor, you'll be able to celebrate the person and not stumble over who they are not. They're not there yet, but you do it anyway. That's what God is raising up in our midst, to be able to honor people. So let it be something that gets in you and I. That no matter what people do, no matter, you can honor the person. That's like loving the sinner, but not loving the sin. You don't condone the sin. You don't say, well, I'm gonna make sure that, you know, I don't give them too much honor because they'll think I'm no, honor the person. And when we do, when we begin to learn that, when we begin to do that, The principle in the Bible that Jesus used is that it will release and open the door wider for the miraculous to happen in our midst. Because it hindered Jesus from doing mighty works because of their dishonor and their disrespect. And they became offended. And that's what Brother Darren is talking about on Sunday morning, becoming offended. So I want to challenge you today. Take heed to the words that the Lord has spoken to you today. You know, my words, you can throw them away, discount them, do whatever you want to with it. Take heed to the words of the Lord. Learn how to honor. And without it being something that is superficial, let it be real. Let it be something that is tangible. Let it be something from the heart. And look for the supernatural to manifest itself in different ways. Because it's no longer hindered by dishonor and disrespect. Amen? Amen. If you got something out of that, clap. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you'll give me just another minute or two, we have a video we want to show. It's just a couple of minutes long.
Ask yourself, where would I be? What would my life be like? Was it not for our veterans who have stepped up for all of us, time and time again over the course of our nation's history? Hello, I am Miles Worcester. My grandfather is Morrill Worcester. He is the founder of Wreaths Across America, and he says he is just a wreath maker from Maine. He has been asked countless times, what is a veteran's wreath, and why do we place wreaths on veterans' graves? A veteran's wreath is made up of 10 bouquets. Each bouquet describes a veteran. The first bouquet stands for a veteran's belief in greater good. The second bouquet stands for their love for one another. The third bouquet stands for a veteran's strength, work ethic, and character. The fourth bouquet stands for a veteran's honesty and integrity. The fifth bouquet stands for a veteran's humility, selflessness, and modesty. The sixth bouquet stands for a veteran's ambitions and aspirations. The seventh bouquet stands for a veteran's optimism for their fellow Americans and for our country. The eighth bouquet stands for the veteran's concern for the future and for future generations. The ninth bouquet stands for a veteran's pride to carry out their duties. The tenth bouquet and final bouquet stands for the veteran's hopes and dreams that didn't always come true, but left with no regrets. Now this wreath, made with 10 bouquets, is a symbol of honor, respect, and victory. It is made from evergreens, which symbolizes longevity and endurance. The circular shape symbolizes eternity and has no beginning and no end. Its clean forest scent symbolizes purity and simplicity. Its red bow symbolizes great sacrifice. This year, when you place a wreath on a veteran's grave, you know it's not just a wreath. It's a personal gift to an American hero. And you will swell with pride knowing that you have done something very, very special. God bless our veterans and God bless America.
Am I? Good morning. I just have a few words that I want to say on behalf of Wreaths Across America. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lisa Marie Barrett. I am the director of the military ministry here at Father's Vineyard. This is the first year that I've been involved with Wreaths Across America. Many of you might have seen the newspaper yesterday. There is a order form in here. There's some on both of the tables back there. One of the ways that we can honor our veterans is to purchase a wreath, to sponsor a wreath in their name, in their honor. The motto of Wreaths Across America is remember, honor, teach. Remember the fallen. Remember the sacrifices that each veteran, living, and those who went before us, have given. Honor them. Teach. We need to teach future generations about what these sacrifices that these men and women have given have done for us. We have the freedoms that we have today because of what they have done for us. There's also some brochures back there. It kind of gives the story of Wreaths Across America. Worcester's dream is that no veteran's grave goes without a wreath. That is his vision. There are more than 2,500 locations across the United States and in Normandy. They have some places overseas that they do this as well, where they lay the wreaths in honor of our veterans, in remembrance of our veterans. If you would like to give or sponsor a wreath at a specific location, the one here for Rutherford County, the Griffith chapter, they don't have grave specific where you can. You can go online to wreathsacrossamerica.org and you can find a grave if you have a loved one that you know somewhere where they are buried, and you can sponsor a wreath and they will put it on their grave. If you want to volunteer, we do need volunteers. I am not volunteering at the local chapter. I will be volunteering in Black Mountain at the Western North Carolina State Veterans Cemetery. Wreath Across America Day is December 18th. That is a worldwide thing. So please let me know if you would like to sponsor a wreath. If you need help online doing a grave-specific wreath, they also have where you could pair. You could buy one and give one to somebody. Just a couple more points. The Griffith chapter, they have 115, that's the local Rutherford County Cemetery. They have 115 wreaths that have already been sponsored. They have 685 left to go. The Western North Carolina State Veterans Cemetery, where I'll be volunteering at, we have 613 that have been purchased. We need 5,587 more sponsorships. The organization that is also part of that Black Mountain is STAR, which is actually the group that I'll be volunteering with. So in addition to that 5,587 that we need for Black Mountain, we also need 867 more for the STAR, because we only have 133 wreaths that have been sponsored. So again, think of a way you can honor our veterans this week. It can be a simple thank you, buying a meal, opening the door, paying for their groceries, sponsoring a wreath. Do what we can. Do what the Lord lays on your heart, and let them know how grateful we are.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lisa. Amen. Great day. Yes.
Just recently, they did an exercise where the U.S. Marines out in the Mojave Desert deployed against the British Special Forces, and the British Special Forces won. And the U.S. Marines were taught how to surrender. That really blew my mind. And I was wondering, Pastor, if you could pray for the leadership of our military. Something's happened. And, you know, the corporals, the people that were here, they serve under the orders of these folks. We need some Eisenhowers and some Pattons and some MacArthurs. We do need that desperately in the DOD, the Department of Defense. We need that. And so these 4- and 5-star generals, they need prayer. Our country needs prayer. Pastor, would you pray for that?
Yeah. All right, please stand. You know, it's not my prayer, it's our prayers. So if you don't mind, just go ahead and start praying. You pray for your leaders, pray for all those that are in authority. Just go ahead and you start your prayer right now. Just start praying. Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus that we have you to lean upon. Lord, we do see there's a critical need of strong leadership, of righteous leadership. So we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to speak to hearts. Speak to the lives of those in the military, our generals. And Lord, we just pray, God, that they would have the influence of your spirit. They would be filled with your spirit, and they would do the things that would cause freedom and that would cause liberty to reign and to flourish. Lord, we pray for all our military. We pray for our president. We pray for the cabinet. We pray for all of the Congress. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to invade Washington with your presence. Lord, awaken them in the middle of the night. Give them dreams. Give them visions. Give whatever it is that they need to be quickened to acknowledge you. We pray for this nation. We ask you, Lord, to save this nation. Bring this nation back to God in its fullness. We love you, we worship you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.